How do you know that your factory is even making a quality product, especially if it's something that you have designed yourself? Now, there are ways around this. One, you could actually take a plane flight over to China and go and inspect the products yourself, ideally before they put it into the package. Or two, when talking about shipping, one of the other things that you can consider is taking out insurance, just for that one-off chance and low chance that your product may be stuck in a shipping container that maybe ends up at the bottom of the ocean. Shipping is a minefield in itself. Essentially, you're trying to get your product from the factory over to a destination. You can use shipping companies to organize all of the shipping process. What they will do is they will give you... I'm Matthew Fraser, and this is Amazon Ecom Secrets. I'll be sharing with you the secrets that helped me go from millions in debt to an eight-figure entrepreneur. If you're ready to escape the 9-to-5 and live life on your terms, let me show you the way. In today's episode, we're going to talk about suppliers and how to find them and who's good and who's not. So let me take you back to when I first started in this space. This was going back to 2017, and I had to try and find a supplier. And I will say it was actually difficult, because you want to put a lot of trust into a supplier. You're not sure if you send this money over to, and we're going to talk about China because China's mainly where these products are made. You know, you're going to send this money to China. Are they just going to run off with your money? Right? Are they going to deliver a good product? So let's talk about sort of some of the nuances with that. Now, first of all, how do I find a supplier? Now, luckily, this day and age, we've got the internet, so you don't actually need to fly over to China to find a supplier. You can go onto a website called Alibaba, and Alibaba is just a website that showcases all these manufacturers, not just in China, but also other parts of the world, mainly in China. And it shows all the different products and all the different pricing on just one platform. And that's how you can find supplies. So when we're talking about Alibaba, the platform, some of the protections they also give to buyers is protection against your money being stolen via an insurance. So that's why it's really good to use a platform like Alibaba, because they're there to protect you as a buyer. They're not going to put, or they certainly don't want to put rogue sellers or rogue factories and manufacturers on their platform who are going to shaft people. That's not what they're in the business in. They want you to keep coming back month after month, buying more product from them through the Alibaba platform. And that's how they make money. When you have found a company that you're comfortable with dealing with, you can then ask for a sample of their product, and they're going to be more than happy to ship you one of their samples directly to your door so that you can touch it and see it and feel it and get an idea of how good is this quality. If the quality is bad, then obviously you don't want to continue dealing with this supplier, because really they're going to send you what they consider the best version of their product because they want to get future business from you. Now, a lot of questions or a lot of stumbling blocks that come up, particularly in this space, is communication. And you will find that a lot of things can be lost in translation, right? A lot of things. I see it all the time. One of the things that I would say to use is a Chinese translator or a Chinese product helper or assistant. And you can find these types of people on Upwork or even Fiverr. And they will help you bridge the gap on the communication. It can just be as simple as you sending an email to your Chinese translator. They will switch it for you and get some of the nuances as well. I don't think you just want to put it straight into a translator app. You want to use an actual person, and that will go leaps and bounds in helping break down the barriers, and also so that you know exactly what you're getting and the company knows exactly what you want. That will really, really help. So once you've got your communication down pat and you're on the same page, you can start looking at things like MOQs and pricing. So what is MOQ? MOQ is minimum order quantity. Now, when you go onto Alibaba, it's going to have a price list there for you already, giving you how, like for example, 100 units is going to cost $2 and 200 units is going to cost $1. My advice to you is don't go in straight away trying to haggle the price. So you certainly don't want to go in trying to haggle on like 100 units, right? Because these suppliers are probably dealing in the tens of thousands of units, and you're coming in asking, you know, ordering like pennies, and you're going to try and haggle the price on them. What I would do is don't haggle the price. Go in at the MOQ that they're requesting for 100 for X amount of dollars and just buy that, because initially anyway, you're really testing the product in the marketplace anyway. Now, this is especially the case if it's just an off-the-shelf product, meaning that you haven't changed anything about the product, you haven't changed the color, you haven't added any handles or buttons or anything like that, right? It's just something that they just make every single day. The other thing to think about regarding MOQs is sometimes the factory will say, you need to order 500 of these units and it's going to be $5, for example. Now, you may not want to order 500 units. That might be too many. You might want to start by ordering something like 50 units or 100 units. Now, the factory is going to push back at you and say, no, no, our minimum order is 500 units. So what you want to do is go back to them and say, well, how much would it cost if I was to order 50 or 100 units? So what you'll find is they're not thinking about changing the price. They're thinking that you want to buy it at $5, so therefore you have to order 500 units. But if you're prepared to pay something like $6 a unit, only a dollar more, then they might do you a deal and let you buy 50 or 100 units. And that will save you on getting more stock than perhaps what is necessary, especially in the beginning when you're testing the market, because you want to have the problem of having a small order and selling out. That's your problem. You want to sell out. You don't want the problem of having way too much stock and now you're having to pay to get it removed from a warehouse. Now let's talk about quality assurance. Now, how do you know that your factory is even making a quality product, especially if it's something that you have designed yourself? Now, there are ways around this. One, you could actually take a plane flight over to China and go and inspect the products yourself, ideally before they put it into the package. Or two, there are companies that actually specialize in quality assurance. Now, keep in mind when you're using these companies, it costs money. And generally, they will only check two in every 100 units or five in every 100 units. You'll have to specify what it is. They're not going to go in and check every single unit, especially if it's something where you've ordered like 10,000 units. They're not going to go through 10,000 units unless you paid for it. But then of course the cost would blow completely out. So they're going to check, you know, a percentage of the products, maybe in each batch if it comes through as batches, or maybe some inside the package and some outside of the packaging as well. So that's something that you can overcome when it comes to quality assurance. And they'll also send you a full report so you know exactly what you're getting, and fingers crossed, it then arrives in the order you expect it. Now, let me tell you a story about quality assurance. And it relates to a friend that I knew who was developing a child's product. Now, what happened was she had one of the samples. It was something that she actually invented, designed herself. She had this product sent to Australia. She had it checked and it looked fantastic. And what she did was she started giving out some of the samples to her friends. And so this child product is now in the hands of adults who are looking at the product and thinking, yeah, this is fantastic. And most people who are your friends and family are going to tell you it's awesome anyway, right? So, but they were checking it. Oh yeah, it looks awesome. So she then went ahead and ordered 5,000 units of this particular product. It goes through to Amazon, it then starts selling, and next thing she knows, she's getting negative reviews. She's thinking, what's going on? Why is it getting negative reviews? Now, here's the fatal mistake. She got it quality checked, right? So that's a tick. But what she failed to do in that whole process was she didn't actually have a child play with the toy. She had her friends who were adults look at the toy and say, yeah, it looks awesome. And once the child started playing with it and they were throwing it around the room and stamping on it, and it just broke, right? So it wasn't actually battle tested for a child. And that is a big, big mistake. So make sure that if you're going to develop a child's product, that you go and get a child to actually battle test the product and make sure it's sturdy and stands up to the rigors of children's play. Now let's talk about shipping. Shipping is a minefield in itself, but essentially you're trying to get your product from the factory over to a destination. Most likely, let's talk about Amazon. Now, you can use shipping companies to organize all of the shipping process. Some people think that it's up to the factory to get the shipment over to Amazon. But it's actually not the case. The factory is not in the shipping business. The factory is in the production and manufacturing business. And so what they will do is they will give you a, generally an FOB price, which is freight on board, which will mean that they'll manufacture the product in their factory and they will get it to the port, the closest port. Then your shipping company steps in and they will handle the shipment from the port onto the boat, if it's going by boat, and all the way to the United States, for example. And you know what? It just seems to happen. You need to use the shipping company too, because they will also look after all the importation documents, which is like a whole host of documents which you just don't want to get involved in because it's quite specialized. But let me just say this. It all just seems to happen. Yeah, the right people step in at the right time. Your shipment ends up from your factory all the way into the United States, and lo and behold, it starts selling on Amazon. So when thinking about getting samples from your manufacturer, there is a simple way to do it, and that is they will send it to you directly via FedEx or some courier. It's something that you don't have to organize, but don't be surprised, you will have to pay, all right? These companies are not in the business of just sending their products all over the world for no cost, right? Otherwise, they'd probably go broke, because you imagine how many people are trying to chase samples, right? And most of the people that get samples just don't end up going through that particular manufacturer anyway. So don't be surprised. You'll probably pay a very, very small fee for the product. Sometimes you might get it for free, but you'll definitely pay for the courier to send you the product. So regarding quality assurance, let me tell you another story that comes to mind. And this was from a good friend of mine who had manufactured a chopping board. Now, the chopping board was checked while it was actually in China and everything was completely fine. The product got shipped into a New York port and it just happened that it was winter and absolutely freezing. They then went on to Amazon. Now again, same situation. They started selling and started getting these negative reviews that the product was broken. And what had happened was during the freezing of this product, while it was sitting in a shipping container in a port, they had just cracked. And this is something that just wasn't foreseen. So what ultimately ended up happening was he had to completely trash this whole container full of chopping boards. Let me share you a story regarding MOQ. And this is from a client right now. And I want to share it so you don't make this same mistake. What's happened is my client, before they came to me for mentoring, put an order in for $30,000 worth of mugs. And my advice to her was, maybe we should start a little bit less. Maybe we'll try the market with $5,000 worth of mugs, you know? Why go so high? Now, the reason why she went in at 30 was because the supplier, the factory, said, well, that's the minimum order quantity. But she didn't know that she could go back and renegotiate with the factory to have a lower MOQ, even if she paid a little bit more in each cost. And I said to her, you want the problem of selling out. You don't want the problem of having $30,000 worth of mugs sitting in a warehouse that you now have to, one, you can't get rid of, and you have to pay now to dispose of, right? And she said to me, look, Matthew, I'm not going to make this mistake again. And I just wish I had had your advice, I had joined your mentoring program sooner, because then I wouldn't be in this predicament. But you live and learn, and hopefully this won't destroy her, and hopefully she does sell out of the $30,000 worth of mugs. So when talking about shipping, one of the other things that you can consider is taking out insurance. Now, we've probably all seen those videos where we see those big shipping containers and it's like the ships and then the containers like falling off the ship in like rough weather. Or if you saw the other day, there was another ship that unfortunately had a bridge collapse on it. And the first thing I noticed was there was just shipping containers just spilled everywhere into the river. And you would hope that your product is not now going to be involved in an incident like that and now held up for God knows how long. So you should also really think hard about taking out some sort of insurance just for that one-off chance and low chance that your product may be stuck in a shipping container that maybe ends up at the bottom of the ocean. All right, guys, thank you. I hope you enjoyed that episode talking about suppliers, manufacturers, and factories. Now, if you're interested in taking your business to 8 figures, I've actually developed a blueprint of how I was able to take my business to 8 figures a year through an 8-step guide. So it's 8 steps to eight figures, and guess what? Without even designing your own product. So maybe you don't even have to deal with Chinese factories after all. So if you want your copy, simply go down to the show notes, click on the link and download it. And I look forward to seeing you at the next episode. Until then, take care. Thanks for tuning into Amazon Ecom Secrets. If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to show your support is to give a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and make sure to subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss an episode. You can also find more at I'm Matthew Fraser on all social media platforms. Thanks so much. Take care.